with that, let's get into the scriptures. And we're going to finish, I believe, the book of Matthew chapter 13 today. Well, not the book, but a chapter. We'll finish chapter 13. And of course, again, this is the chapter about his kingdom. And after he tells them all these parables, after he goes through and explains the parables of the sower and the seed and the yeast and the weeds and all of these different things he's talking about, and the treasures hidden in the field, he then looks at them and asks the question of the day in chapter 13, verse 51. Have you understood all these things? And I just kind of imagine Yeshua standing there with a little bit of a grin on his face, and knowing what they're going to answer, and knowing that they have no clue what they're saying. You know, he says, so, guys, now that I have your attention of all these things, have you understood all that I've said to you? And they do what we do. Oh, yeah, yeah, we understand it. Uh-huh. Yeah, we got it all. Go ahead and give us the test. Maybe not now, but actually, they think they understand. And that's the same thing that we do. You know, we come to the end of something. Do you understand the principles of the kingdom? And we say, yeah, 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 we got it. Uh-huh. And in the back of our minds, we know we don't have it, but we kind of want to say we do and think we do for some crazy reason instead of, you know, I think that the best thing for these disciples to have done would be to look at Yeshua and say, haven't got a clue what you're talking about yet, but I know that it's going to be revealed to us in your time. But instead, they did the same thing that that we do today. And they said, yeah, we got it, we got it. And they thought that they did. And we do the same thing. You know, when it comes to the kingdom, what do we know? I mean, we've read the number one chapter on the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13. What do we really know about the kingdom? Well, in order to answer that question, we'd have to discuss, first of all, which time period of the kingdom are we talking about? Are we talking about the time period of 1,000 years? What do we know about that? Or are we talking about the kingdom which we will be ushered into at the end of the 1,000 years, called eternity? What do we know? Well, let's kind of take that apart for a little bit. The 1,000-year time period, we know, at least we think we know, that I'm pretty sure on this one that I know this. Messiah will be here. I got that one down, I think, pretty good. He will be in Israel. He will be in a temple. And the temple will be located in Jerusalem. Now, from there, everything gets a little fuzzy, because there's even debate in Scripture, there's debate regarding the Scriptures of where the temple is going to be. Is Mount Moriah, where the first and second temples were built, is that actually where the third temple, the one that Messiah will rule and reign from, is it going to be right where the old one was, or is it going to be a little to the side, or will it actually be on Mount Zion? There's some possibilities of a number of different things. So there's things that we don't know. Who will be there in the kingdom? We think we know that there will be nations that will come to the kingdom, and they will celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. So we know that the feast will be celebrated. But will all the feasts be celebrated by the whole world, or will those who are in the kingdom celebrate the first of the festivals, and then the nations will be allowed to come for the Feast of Tabernacles? Could be. So these are natural people that are coming. If they don't have, if they don't come and send a representative from their land, there's not going to be rain for the next year. There's going to be, there will be some famine that breaks out. What else do we know about that 1,000 years? The Torah will go forth in, I think it's Isaiah chapter 2. The Torah will go forth from Jerusalem. So the constitution of the kingdom at that time will be the Torah. It will not be the new Egyptian constitution, thank God. It will not be the constitution of the United States, thank God again. It will not even be the constitution of Canada, sorry, thank God for the third time. It will be the Torah, that old document of bondage and law and all those things will go forth from Jerusalem, and the world will be judged according to the Torah. What will you and I be doing in that 1,000 years? Well, about the only thing the Scripture says is we'll be ruling and reigning with Him. What does that mean? I don't know. We're going to have a glorified body, a renewed body. What does that look like? Don't know. What's our job going to be? Don't know. Okay, so since we don't know a whole lot about the 1,000 years, let's move on to that eternal one, okay? And let's see, what do we know about that? Well, let's go to Revelation 21. Let's get a real good handle on this one. Let's see, there'll be a renewed heaven and a renewed earth, okay? Because the old heaven and old earth will pass away, and the sea will no longer be there. Okay, we know there will be a new Yerushalayim coming down from the heavens. Won't be more tears, because it says, "See, Yah's Shekinah is with mankind. He will live with them. They will be His people, and He Himself, Yah with them, will be their Yah." What does that mean? How's that going to be? We don't know. He's going to wipe away all the tears. Okay, good. No longer being death. No longer being mourning, crying, or pain, because the old order has passed away. We see that Yeshua will the fullness of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, I'm going to term it like that, will be there. There'll be no, in verse 22, there'll be no temple for Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh of Yah's heaven's armies is its temple, as is the Lamb. Okay, there will be gates. They will never be closed. They'll stay open all day because night will not exist there. So let's see. I guess that since there's no night, we don't have to sleep, because in that glorified body, it doesn't need sleep. That's pretty good. Let's see. Nothing impure is going to enter into it. And only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. From there, what else do we know? We know that Isaiah 66 says that we will come before Him from one Rosh Chodesh, new moon, to another, and one Shabbat to another. We're going to come and worship before Him. We will go forth and look upon the corpses of those who have rejected Him. That's what we know. You know, we really don't know a lot, do we? When it comes to His kingdom, we really don't know a lot. And you and I today are basing our lives, what we do, how we do it, being rejected. I mean, anybody in this last few weeks that didn't feel uncomfortable in this world, that didn't feel at times a little rejection in this world, it's probably because you weren't living. I mean, if you went out and celebrated Christmas, if you call yourself following the Word and you celebrated Christmas, you need to look in your own mirror and make some real determination here, because something's wrong, okay? if the whole Christmas scenario didn't grieve you in a number of ways. And there was there's a mixing of emotions in this time, because I remember, growing up with Christmas, and there's some good memories there. There's some good memories of family there. But then we find out that what we were doing was not according to the way that the Almighty desires us to do. So we have an option. We can either continue to feel good, or we can start to do what He says to do. And it doesn't matter what the feelings really are. We need to stand. We have to stand up to people around us. So, you and I, we are living this so far out of the culture lifestyle, taking the more difficult road, and doing this based upon what? Based upon some words that we read in a book. Words that have been faithful and true for thousands of years. That's what I'm basing everything on. And I'm basing my life on what I've seen. The faithfulness that I've seen Him do through His Word for many, many years. And understanding that as He's faithful now, He's going to be faithful then. And so what He's told me about His kingdom is all I really need to know right now about His kingdom, because He has some things in store.
It's kind of impossible to get away from this, but think back, some of you, for your in past years. You remember Christmas morning?
I mean, nobody had to drag you out of bed on Christmas morning, did they? You had a tree there, and you had some packages. And you'd spent the last week or so trying to figure out which packages were yours. And we had some, in my house, we had some interesting ways to do that. We even used, because my mother would put the packages, and she would put them, the labels down, hidden, so that we couldn't find it. And I'd actually take mirrors and go in there and look and try to figure out which one was mine. And she wouldn't let us touch them, because I've got this talent that I can hold a package in my hand and tell you what's in it normally. So she would not allow me to do that. So, you get this, and you're thinking about it. You find out this is yours, and you're looking at the box, and you're wondering, what is in this box? And your mind is racing, and it's rolling around of what is in this box. And then the morning comes, and you get to open it. And you find out that it's something that you never would have purchased in a million years. And you think, this is stupid. Well, let me tell you, when we enter into the kingdom, we see in this, and somebody's going to think, wow, you're really pushing the analogies here. Well, it's that time of year. We see in the scriptures, in these parables, it's like a package that's been wrapped. And our name is on the package. But we look at it and we say, I see it. I see my name there, but I'm rattling it around in my head. And I can't figure out what's in the package. But when the kingdom arrives and the package is opened, none of us will be disappointed at what is there. And I can tell you that based upon what I've already seen Him do. And so there's going to be a surprise. There's going to be some surprises for all of us when we enter into the kingdom. It's not going to be something we're just going to walk in and go, oh, wow, I knew it all. Yeah, the answer was yes. We're going to go, well, did we understand all those things? No, didn't have a clue. And that's good. That's good, because that causes us to walk by faith. So he goes on to say, so then every Torah teacher who has been made into a Talmidim in the kingdom of heaven is like an owner of a home who brings out of his storage room both new things and old things. So
as we continue in this life, and we continue to learn as much as we can about the kingdom, it is going to be like a homeowner, a person who has, let's term it an attic in their house. It says a storage room here, but let's put it into a kind of a modern day thing. They have an attic. And in that attic, there is history. There's all kinds of history in that attic. And one day, the grandchildren come over to the house. And the grandparent says, "Let's go up in the attic. There's some things I want to show you." And they go up to the attic, and the grandchildren are kind of, you know, mystified, and there's this excitement in the air. And they walk into this place that they've never been before. They climb those stairs. I'm thinking about it, you know, some of the old in the Northeast and in some of the in the South, the old plantation style houses, you know, with the attic. And you walk up those steps, and you go up in the attic, and you start looking around, and there's things that are old and things that are new. And the grandparent starts to reach around and grab boxes and pull things out of those of the attic. And he shares them with the grandchildren. There's things that are there that the grandchildren have seen in the last couple of years, maybe. And then there's a box of in the corner. You know, "Granddad, what is that?" "Oh, let me show you. That's some things from my childhood." Now, this is new to the grandchildren, but it's just a part of the family's life. It's a part of the family's heritage. And so some of the things that we're getting today as we open the scriptures, as we are being led back into the Torah year after year, it's kind of like going into the attic. And we find, oh, look, this is something of our great, 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 whatever grandfather Abraham. And we pull it out and we show it and we discuss it and we try to figure out the riches that are involved in this article. And here's something from his son Isaac and from his son Jacob and then from Joseph. And what are we doing? We're searching an attic full of treasures. We're looking at things that are they're new to us. It's not new. They've always been there, but it's new to us. And it says the Torah teacher here, and I don't think that Stern gets this one when he translates this word Torah teacher real well, but I'm not sure what I would put in there myself. But every person who is attempting to expound upon the word, okay, I'll kind of throw that in, and has made himself, it says, a Talmudim, a part of the kingdom, is like an owner of a house. So when we get our eyes focused, when we get our hearts focused on his kingdom and upon his house, we get to enter into areas of his house. We get to climb into the attic. I mean, some of you, I just know this. You're thinking through times in your own life that maybe in your, you know, somebody of your family, and they had a house with an attic, or they had a house with a basement. This isn't before we had storage units for everything, right? And you actually kept things because life was not disposable as it is now. And you got these treasures. In my own life, I have a couple of boxes in an attic over in our other building. And this is kind of my childhood memories. And once in a while, I've taken this out and showed our children. And, you know, there's things that, If you came in and just kind of looked through that, you'd say this is a bunch of junk. But as I'm there, I can explain this, and I can say this happened here and this happened here. And it's part of our heritage. It's getting us acquainted with our heritage. It's getting us acquainted with all that is a part of His kingdom. I hope that kind of pulls that around a little bit. So when Yeshua had finished speaking these parables, He left and went to His hometown, where they asked Him in their synagogue in a way that where He taught them in their synagogue in a way that astounded them. I can see that. So that they ask, where did this man's wisdom and miracles come from? Isn't he the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother called Miriam? And his brothers, Yaakov, Yosef, Simeon, Yehuda, and his sisters. We've got to be at least two sisters. So we've got at least six children in the family here. And his sisters, aren't they all with us? So where does he get all this? You know, it's an honest question, okay? Some people have beat this group up so bad about this. You know, once again, all these stupid people, they missed Yeshua, they didn't see Him, all this stuff. Okay, Yeshua has grown up. He goes back to their synagogue. He went to his hometown, which is Nazareth, and he walks in to the synagogue. I've been right there where that synagogue was. And he starts to expound upon the Word in a way that these people have never heard before. They've listened to their, you know, the rabbis speak and expound on things on a weekly basis. But all of a sudden, I mean, Yeshua, being the living Torah, is able to teach Torah in a way that no man could ever teach. And they were astounded at how He was teaching, at what He was saying. And some people have said, well, these people just never got it and they missed Him and all that. No, consider if this had been somebody that grew up in your congregation. You know, there's ladies in, as I mentioned last week about seeing people in that I grew up in church with, there's ladies in that synagogue that day that had changed Yeshua's diaper. There's ladies in that synagogue that had Yeshua in nursery. There's men in that synagogue that have taught Him in Shabbat school or something. They've grown up with Him. They never thought for a moment, and there was never really any reason for them to think for a moment who this was. And now He comes back and He's teaching this way. I can see how they could miss this. The problem lies in what they did with the information when they were confronted with it. When they were confronted with, wait a minute, this man is not really who we thought he was. This man is much more than what we thought he was. What happened? It says they became offended. They took offense at Him. Highlight that part of a verse right there. This portion of a verse is very, very important for us to etch into our own being, really. Because, see, the reason they became offended is that they came face to face with the fact that they had been taught wrong, that they were teaching wrong, they were living things wrong, and that life had to change. Now, when you and I are confronted with something like that, especially when it's in a religious sense, the natural reaction is to become offended. You know what offense does? It shuts the door to His kingdom. I understand, and most of you understand, what it's like to come to the place of saying, I was wrong. I was taught wrong. I taught wrong. I was living things wrong. I went back years ago after I started learning about the Torah and got together a group of people who were part of our congregation there in Florida, and a group that was still left. And I said to them, I ask your forgiveness. I taught you wrong. I taught the way that I had been taught. And I've seen something now. I've seen something in the Scripture that is new. It was new to me. It had always been in the attic. Just people had covered it up and put it behind a bunch of things and put mattresses and everything else on top of it. It was not new. It was very, very old. And I had to look at them and say, please forgive me for teaching you in a way that was wrong. I'm asking you to take another look at the Scripture and to seek the Father in this direction. Some did, some didn't, by the way. Here's what I want to bring out. Even today, we're still not at the place of doing everything right. Sorry. You know, one of the things about the kingdom that I know is that when we enter into the kingdom, we're going to find out how to live the Torah according to the Torah. Yeshua himself is going to teach us how to live the Torah. Now, it's cold outside and the cat's outside and she's meowing, and if I let her in, she's going to meow more and more. So, furball, you're just going to wait about 10 more minutes. One thing I know is that when we enter into the kingdom, we're going to be taught the Torah the right way. There are going to be people that are offended. Do you know that? What would you think if you get to the kingdom and find out that in your house there's two kitchens? Or two sinks? I'm not saying there's going to be. I don't personally believe that there will be. But what if the separation of milk or of dairy and meat, what if the rabbis have it more right than we do? What if it's not just a BLT that you're not supposed to have, but it's, you know, that turkey and cheese sandwich you're not supposed to eat either? Or what about that stroganoff that's the meat that's boiled in milk? What if that's not something? And I'm using illustrations here, okay? Don't say, well, he said that there was going to be stroganoff. I didn't say that. There could be. But think about it for a moment. There's going to be people that are given the opportunity to be offended in the kingdom. Because, and a statement that's always stood with me for years, the Almighty, Yah, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, will offend your mind to reveal what is in your heart. So when we look at something and we become offended at it, you know what it does? Is it really reveals what's in our heart. I can tell you, as sure as I'm sitting in this chair today, Wednesday morning in Oklahoma, there's going to be people that are offended when the end times don't turn out just like they've thought they were going to be. Some people have got the end time scenario. They're just like these people that were in Nazareth. They've got their end time scenario down so tight. Oh, this is what's going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this and this, and then this is going to happen, then we're going to do this and this and this. And when it doesn't happen that way, they're going to be offended, and they're going to walk away from the kingdom, not toward the kingdom. How do I know that? Because history that is right here will repeat itself again and again and again. So let's not be like those who have their theologies and their doctrines and their teachings and their end-time scenarios so locked up in a box that when it doesn't happen like we have it figured out, then all of a sudden we become offended and we end up heading toward the wrong kingdom. We need to know, we need to study to show ourselves approved. But understand that when Yeshua looks at us and says, "Have you understood all these things?" The answer, yes, is not really a truthful answer. Because we do not understand, at least I don't, understand much of anything regarding what is going to be. I just look at it and go, yeah, that looks like, and I know that in the end I'll be able to look back and say, that's what he meant when he said Damascus will be destroyed. And that's how it's going to come to pass. And all of these things, I don't need right now to be so concerned about it. What I need to be concerned about is what he's telling me to do today. I mean, if I, to take that one verse, if I was looking at the world situation as it is being portrayed on the news today, there's no way I would get on a plane and go to Israel. Because do you know how close Damascus is to the Golan Heights, to Samaria, to Jerusalem? It's pretty close. And if I believe, oh, well, on this day, this is going to happen, this is how it's going to happen, instead of saying, Father, where do you want me to go? What are your orders for me today? And it doesn't matter what happens in Damascus. It matters that I'm being obedient to his kingdom. Okay? One last verse. The only place people don't respect a prophet is in his own hometown and in his own house. And he did few miracles there because of their lack of trust. And this is a parallel scripture, with Mark chapter 6. And you can read Mark chapter 6. It's a tragic, tragic chapter in the scriptures. The first part of Matthew 6 says that he could only do a few miracles and teach a little bit. And at the end, when he went over to the other side of the Galilee, it said he healed as many people as came to him. Why? Because those people didn't take offense at him. Those people had not become so familiar with him. Here's one of the problems that we run into, and this is life, is that people around us, we become too familiar sometimes. Oh, it's just the pastor. Oh, it's just the rabbi. Oh, it's just that guy that's, looks at us on the camera every week. And I'm not trying to put myself in any place with that statement. It's just a matter of fact that the people that we are around on a constant basis, we become pretty familiar with those people, and we can quit listening to them. When they really have something, and this can be your parents, okay? This could be parents, this could be your child, okay? This can be all kinds of people. I found that the Father speaks to me very well through people around me, through my wife, through my children. And if I'm not listening to the people in my own house, and that's not to say that I agree with everything, and that any time that that my wife or children open their mouth, that I believe that it's God. I didn't say that. My family knows me better than that, but we need to learn to listen to the people around us instead of becoming so familiar that we miss the word of the Almighty through them. And this is what they did in this scripture, is they had become so familiar with the person of Yeshua that when he was in his active role of ministry as the Messiah, they just couldn't quite get it. They just couldn't quite receive it. Now, every one of us knows, if you're living any kind of life at all in his kingdom, his present kingdom, you understand these words very well. because, you know, you've gone to your to somebody in your family in this recent time of Christmas and Hanukkah and everything. You've gone to them and you've talked to them about, you know, the paganism and the fact that he wasn't born on December 25th and all these things. And they look at you and it's like, well, who are you to tell me anything? I mean, have you had that happen to you? Yeah, I know I have. And I know a lot of you, I mean, I know the faces behind this lens here that I'm looking at. And I know some of your stories. And you've gone to your children. You've gone to your parents. You've gone to friends around you. You've gone to people you grew up with. And you started to talk and they went, who are you to tell me anything? And what do? They become offended. And then, amazing thing happens sometimes, as a year or two goes by, and all of a sudden, they come back and start telling you these things. And you say, well, I told you that a couple of years ago. Oh, no, you didn't. Because, why? Because they listened to somebody on the internet, you know, from New Zealand. Nothing against New Zealand, but it's a long ways away from America. And I found that it's an incredible thing that happens is I can get together a group of people. It's like when I lived in Arizona, I couldn't get anything. Nobody listened to me in Arizona. Moved to Oklahoma, you know, and the longer you're here, the less people listen to you. Why? Because people become familiar with you. They start to know you, and sometimes that's the problem. They start to see your faults and find out that you're just a real person, you know. But wherever you are, you know, in your own home, your own hometown, people don't listen to you. But if I got on a plane and I went to New Zealand or South Africa, or Timbuktu, wherever that is, I'd be the expert. And I could stand there, and it's so funny, because I could walk into a congregation and say exactly what the leader of the congregation has been saying for a year, and the people would go, wow, we've never heard this before. This is great. This is awesome. Why? Because it's the expert from out of town that's always accepted, instead of the person that's right there in your midst that really cares for you, that really has your best interest at heart. But we get these things so out of kilter in our lives. So begin to listen to the people around you that the Almighty has placed in your life. And when it comes time for change in our theology, okay, we're entering into 2013. I know that we're not supposed to deal with the Gregorian calendar. I'll have somebody that emails me and says, how dare you? I probably won't anymore because they've been offended before and have left. But for the three people who are still listening, we're going to sign checks 2013. We're living in this Egyptian Sodom and Gomorrah Babylonian life. Okay, we're not in the lifestyle, but the life. Okay, and so New Year's Eve is going to come, and in fact, we're planning to get together with a couple of people and maybe even, you know, have a little celebration there. Who knows? But probably eat a little bit, probably. Yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, we're going to have to deal with this. 2013 is going to bring more challenges than 2012 did. What are you going to do with those challenges? How are you going to react to those challenges? How are you going to react to things that are going to change this year that you didn't expect to change? Are you going to be offended? Or are you going to trust Him for what's coming? And say, you know, I didn't see it coming this way, but it doesn't matter how I saw it. It matters what He is doing, and it matters what the Word is saying to me, because He is in the midst of this preparing me for His kingdom. Something to think about, isn't it? So with that, Pray you have a blessed and prosperous week. Shavuot Tov. And Bezrat Hashem, God willing. See you again next week. By next week, my mind's going to be racing around trying to figure out how to pack everything and what to take and what not to take. And God willing, this is going to be a great time in Israel. So please start praying for us now. So with that, see you next week.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha Yisa Adonai Sem lecha shalom.